I'm Kara Roselle, and this is Made by Many, where I talk with friends and peers about their inspirations, motivations, and more. As always, hoping this finds you where you are. Christopher, thank you so much for coming on today. How are you?
I am doing well, and I am so excited for this conversation. It is the perfect way to de-stress the day. I'm ready to talk green girls, darling.
As am I. Let's get into your journey. Tell me a bit about the process of developing your love for plants and becoming the plant queen.
Yeah, so, you know, it really started with my grandmother. She was like the original plant queen. I grew up in Philadelphia, West Philadelphia. And so, you know, my grandmother had a little garden, you know, and it was a special place for her. And so, you know, when I was younger, about like 4 or 5 years old, she would take me to some of her favorite nurseries. And I recently went back to, I drove to Philly and I drove around to try to find those nurseries. They're all closed. But when they did exist, they were magical places that my grandmother took me to. And it was just a joy that radiated from her. And I think, you know, for me as a child, it was beautiful witnessing her being the author of her own joy and instilling in me as a child that one nature was something precious that, you know, we should always stay close to as much as possible. But then also that, you know, you can create your own joy. And my grandmother was doing that. She was doing that through her garden and she was sharing that joy with me. So it's really beautiful to see. And so, you know, fast forward many, many years later, I moved to New York. I moved to New York in 2012 for grad school. I had completed my grad program and I started working my first full-time job and was moving into a new apartment. So she was ready. She was feeling grown. I was like, hashtag adulting, let's get into it, let's go. You know, I think I was at a point where I was just searching for something, you know, like I wasn't a student anymore. Mm-hmm. I was working full time and, you know, working full time can get monotonous, right? You get stuck into a little cycle. And I was like, we got to jazz it up. So, you know, I really thought of my grandmother and her garden. I was like, well, this place has wonderful windows. Let's green it up. Mm-hmm. So I went over to a little local hardware store and picked up a Marble Queen pothos, which I still have to this day. And, you know, I made a promise to myself. I was like, if I can get this plant to, you know, grow and thrive, then, you know, maybe I'll dive into plant parenthood. And so the plant grew and grew and grew. And it was such a simple joy, like watching her grow. And so, yeah, so after that, I started, you know, that was the summer of, maybe summer of 2015. Yeah, I can't remember the exact year, but I know it was summertime. I started riding my bike around to all the different little plant shops in Brooklyn. It was like a little self-care date with myself. I was like, this, you know, this weekend is for me. I'm going to dive into like this new thing that I'm into. And, you know, fast forward like 4, 5, 6 years later, I have over 200 plants in my Brooklyn, New York apartment. They are the best quarantine buddies. I love them to death. They are the best roommates ever. You know, I try to share, you know, the joy and the lesson that I've learned, you know, through this simple little, you know, journey with nature through my Instagram. And so, which, you know, honestly, I didn't think it was, I mean, like I had no intention on it growing to what it has grown into. It literally was me just documenting my journey. And then, you know, folks, you know, started joining along and there was this community that was building. And, you know, pre-COVID, I would do like plant swaps and different plant events and like, let's get offline and like come together. We can't do that now. But, you know, back in the day, pre-Rona, you know, we had the, you know, the opportunity to gather and build community through plants. And so that's a little bit about my journey. I'm just a, you know, a queen with 200 plants in her Brooklyn, New York apartment and just sharing her joy.
A queen with a lot of green. I'm curious, you mentioned plant swaps. I feel like it's probably like self-explanatory, but I want to make sure I know what it is. Is it just meeting up with people and switching for plants that you want that the other person has, essentially?
Yeah, basically you're just like trading plants with each other, which I think is a beautiful thing because, you know, some of the plants that we have, I know a bunch of the plants that I have like an emotional, like I have a memory, a moment attached to them, right? And to be able to share that with someone is really nice, right? So It also saves on coins. I love True. Where, you know, she can squeeze coins and save a coin or two. You know, she's here for it. It's also a wonderful way to save money on plants that you may really want. And also just build community with folks, because 9 times out of 10, you know a plant parent and you just don't know it yet because y'all haven't brought up the topic of plants. So I do that with all my friends. I just start talking about plants. And I'm like, yeah, girl, I have this one. And it's a whole conversation about a particular plant they're struggling with.
I actually recently started to get into plant as like a gift giving method. And I've been really liking to give propagated plants. So like you feel like you're really attached, or like it comes from a plant in your home and there's that tie. It just like feels so much deeper and such a thoughtful gift. But I've been loving to do that. And I mean, it takes time, but that's also part of what makes it special.
It's the process, beauty in the process. No, I'm all for it. I actually have some plants that I'm propagating right now that I'm going to just give to some friends randomly. Hello. This I don't need a reason to give you a gift. Here you go. Here's a plant.
I love it. I was actually talking to you, and you mentioned how they're great quarantine buddies, with this amazing woman named Evelyn Escobar. And she does a lot of like work with outdoors, and she started an intersectional women's hiking club in LA. But she was talking about really just how we are nature, how it's important to get in touch with nature, whether you're going outside and whether you're taking care of plants if you don't live on the West Coast and can't be outside all year round. But definitely getting into plant parenthood for me during quarantine was really nourishing. And I know, like, I feel like most people listening may be familiar with you or are probably familiar with you on social media. And you have one of the most luscious, like, green apartments I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
But how do you find the time, or do you make a schedule for taking care of your plants, or do you just kind of survey the situation, check it out? Like, how do you keep up with all of them?
So, yeah. So, you know, I joke, and, you know, I'm like, yes, you know, 9 to 5, you know, I have my day job, and then 24/7, I'm a plant parent. So, you know, I tend to, you know, when you got over 200 plants in your apartment, it can become a little tedious to take care of them. And so, you know, I tend to incorporate them into, I love routines. Like, I find safety and comfort in routines. I love routines. And so I have this morning routine where, you know, I'll basically, like, each day I have a group of plants that I kind of check in on. And, you know, that's like pruning their leaves, just making sure there's no pests. And this is a way for me to just, like, wake my body up. I try not to be on my phone because I think the first inclination when we wake up is to grab our phone and start like getting on the apps. I'm like, girl, my eyes ain't ready for it yet. Not ready for it. So, you know, I try to, you know, the first thing I'm doing in the morning is interacting with my plants. And so, you know, play a little jazz playlist, maybe a piano instrumental situation, you know, a little something to wake the body up. So yeah, so I kind of just check on them in rotation every day. But Sundays are the days when I water my plants, depending on the, you know, the amount of sun, the temperature. Not all of my plants need to be watered at, you know, that particular Sunday. But Sunday is like my day where I'm checking the soil, you know, really paying great, you know, attention and detail to their foliage, checking to see if anything needs to be repotted. So Sunday is like my gardening day. And, you know, put a little cute outfit on because you don't need a reason to get cute, right? Mm-hmm. Get cute for yourself. Fix yourself a little mocktail, depending on what you went to, you know, play a cute little playlist. And then I'm literally just prancing around my apartment. My neighbors probably hate me on Sundays.
Imagine though that if they look forward to it, they're like, oh, the music's going to start. This is about to happen.
I would love that if that was the reality. But yeah, so my, you know, my plant care routine is ingrained in my own self-care routine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sundays are a day for me to just put everything away because I have to take care of my plants. I'm not watching TV. I'm not up on my phone. I'm not answering emails. I'm putting all that away. I'm existing with myself and my green girl. So yeah, I try to be disciplined with that because, you know, sometimes self-care takes discipline. So
it does. You were mentioning repotting plants and doing that kind of overview and seeing what needs to be repotted and whatnot. And again, as not like a green thumb I'm curious.
We're gonna talk about that green thumb nonsense, you know, because I have a lot of thoughts about that.
But yes, we will. So as a person that's not as experienced with plants, do you repot in the winter or during the season? Because I know I've read that it's kind of a weird time to take care of your plants or to take them out of their shell, so to speak.
Yeah. So yeah, that's like a two-part question. So when I have a plant, you know, that I'm bringing, a new plant that I'm bringing into my home, and she's in her nursery pot, mm-hmm. right? And the nursery pots are, you know, pots that are meant for distribution. They're meant to just make sure that the plant is getting where, you know, the plant needs to go, and then goes into the home of, you know, the home that's supposed to go into. And so I will, you know, take, you know, that plant out of its plastic planter and repot it into a stable home. And typically I use terracotta pots, one, because I love the warm color, two, they're inexpensive and she's on a budget. And then three, they have drainage holes. And so that's really helpful when it comes to like watering your plant and not having to like guesstimate how much is too much water. So when I'm welcoming a new plant into my home, I'll depot her no matter what season it is. If repotting, two things. Repotting is changing the soil. And then if that queen needs more room to grow, then that's changing the pot. Depending on where you live, right? Because, you know, if you're on the West Coast and it's warm all year round, your plants probably aren't going through as much of a dormant phase as, you know, like other parts of the country or the world where it gets really frigid, right? And the sun decreases. And so plants typically go dormant in the winter time. And so I try not to repot them, you know, give them fresh soil or give them a new pot, because they're just trying to conserve the energy that they have and they're just trying to make it through the winter.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you know, I recently read, which was really fascinating to me by someone I follow, that, you know, another conversation is around like fertilizing the plant. So I kind of like paired repotting and fertilizing together. You know, we have our plants indoors, and just because they're getting less sun doesn't mean that they're not growing. Right. So like I have a lot of plants that have grown new leaves and they're looking fabulous. And so, you know, a big important factor in being a plant parent is understanding that each situation, each home is its own microclimate. And you have to fit your plant care need to your own situation, right? So something that works for me may not work for, you know, another person, right? Depending on the direction of their windows, how much sunlight they're getting, the temperature, the humidity levels, right? And so it's not the end of the world if you find that your plant is like, oh, she is busting at the seams, like we need to make sure her roots have a place to grow. But typically I would wait for spring and summer because that's when they're most active, but it wouldn't be the end of the world if you had to repot your plant in the wintertime. Yeah. But I would try to steer towards repotting in the spring and summer. And then with fertilizing, that's just adding nutrients to the soil. And I'm still looking into this because what I read was that, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric saying that you should not fertilize your plant in the fall and winter.
Okay.
Right. And again, that depends, right? So if you're using like synthetic fertilizer, that's like the liquid, like basically where you like pour a blue liquid, like pour blue powder and you pour water on it and it like dilutes it. Some you have like in a squirt bottle. So again, depending on where you live, your plants may not go into that dormant phase, right? And a lot of the rhetoric that we hear about indoor plants is from outdoor gardening, right? So mm-hmm. obviously if it's wintertime, plants are outdoors, girl, don't fertilize them. They're just trying to survive the winter,
right?
But indoors, we're keeping a consistent environment for them to continue to grow. You probably can just, and I haven't tried this yet, and I was so excited when I heard this because I think it brings a solution to some of the issues and struggles that I have in the wintertime. But they basically were saying that, you know, you can still fertilize your plant just a little less. Not as much as you would during the growing season when they're like, yes, give me the nutrients. I want all the nutrients. But then also if you're using like DIY fertilizers, like eggshells, banana peels, coffee grinds, tea leaves, those are organic compounds that need to take time in order to break down. So actually, if you're using DIY, more organic fertilizer, you may actually have to put them in a little earlier so that the microbes, what do you call microbes? Yeah, microbes, the little bacteria, the helpful bacteria in the soil, have time to break down that matter so that it can become, you know, the nutrients that can be soaked up by the root. You know, I just spent a lot of time, you know, she got a lot of time on her hands. She's been a lot of time alone these days. So these are random things that I do.
She has a lot of plants. So, you know, like it's important research. It's to keep them alive and thriving.
I'm telling you. So I hope that wasn't confusing for anybody. Basically, everything that, you know, everyone needs to know, try to repot your plant in the spring and summer, because that's when your plant is most active and looking for that room to grow. And when it comes to fertilizing, try to stick to the growing seasons as well. You can also experiment with fertilizing your plants in the winter, but just on a less frequent basis.
Glad I got that answered. I feel like it's been a question in my mind. So I'm learning too, along with everybody else. I want to get into what you were talking about when I mentioned green thumb, and you wanted to dive into that. So let's dive into that. Let's talk about it.
So, you know, green thumb, and then some folks use black thumb. I'm like, girl, we ain't using none of that rhetoric, okay? Because I got two black thumbs and they are beautiful and they are taking care of these plants, all right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, this green thumb idea is that there's this intrinsic skill that folks have when it comes to gardening, that it just comes naturally. And that is not true. You know, taking care of plants is just like a muscle. You got to build it up over time. You make mistakes, you learn from them, you keep going, right? So this idea of the green thumb, I think, just creates this unnecessary anxiety around bringing nature into your life. And we ain't about the anxiety. Throw it out the window, bring those lushness into your home, and get ready for the adventure. So I did research, and the green thumb, I'm not going to get the story right all the way, but I'll give you all the basics. Green thumb came from a time when there were kings and queens, and the king really enjoyed this. I think it was like some type of green fruit, or like green peas or something. It was this green thing, that this green edible thing that the king loved to eat. He would have his subjects collect these green fruit or green vegetable, whatever it was. The person who collected the most of this fruit was then handsomely rewarded. And so it was said that, you know, when they would, you know, take the fruit or pick the fruit or whatever it was, it would leave green residue on their hands. And so it was said that the person with the greenest hand probably picked the most fruit. Green thumb became a phrase that was used during that time. It's like, oh, you have a green thumb. That means you were rewarded and you picked the most fruit for the king. Which really doesn't have anything to do with taking care of plants.
Yeah.
We take something and we, you know, attach a meaning to it. And so I think it's really important for us to just demystify. Like, green thumb had nothing to do with taking care of plants, right? We just made that up. It's not necessary for taking care of plants. It's all about finding the plant that match with you, right? So I'm tragic at taking care of ferns. Ferns, I love them. They are beautiful. They are delicate. But I gotta love them vicariously. Like, I gotta love them from a distance. I can't bring them into my home. And that was something I had to learn. Now, if I went out and all I was collecting was ferns, I'd be like, damn, I'm not good at this. Right? But I learned that, you know, actually I do better with more hardy and resilient plants. So the snake plant is like my favorite plant, right? Yes. Because she's really hard to kill, wonderful air purifier, adds texture to the decor. And so it's really just matching the plant to your own personality, right? So I know some folks that can take care of ferns so well because they have the time and they want to put that amount of love, care, and attention into that particular plant. And then there's some queens that are like, I'm on the go. I'm not in my, you know, I got things to do. I love the plant, but I can't, you know, be up on them all the time. Maybe a cactus, which thrives in neglect, is the plant for you, right? So it's really right. It's really just like finding that match. And so when people are like, I don't have a green thumb, I was like, well, girl, what's a green thumb?
Yeah, I'm glad you said it. I feel like this it sparked a deeper conversation into really being aware and in tune with yourself. And like you said, matching it to what works for you. Like, I feel like, and what works for your space. Because like one that I had trouble with in my apartment were fig trees. and ooh, I had two of them, and they were due fine for a while. It was also the winter, so I don't know if that had something to do with it, but I don't think I had enough light for them. They weren't liking it. It wasn't a vibe. But other plants did amazing in my apartment. So, I mean, it's just figuring out what works like twofold for you and for your space. Because I was like, I can't bring another one in here. I'm not going to subject it to possibly dying. It's not cool. I got to stop.
No, yeah, I've actually struggled. Now, was it the fiddle leaf fig?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I struggled with that plant so many times. Mm. And, you know, those queens enjoy humidity. Mm-hmm. And they enjoy being left in one spot.
I moved it a lot, so that's interesting. That
child, yeah, you can't move her. She got to stay where she is. And so, yeah, so I struggled. That was one of the plants I was like, I'm determined to like get you to thrive in my space. And so when I moved into this space, I've only been here for about a year now. I was like, all right, I'm going to try again. Cause I've went through maybe 10 of those queens. Some of them went to that little botanical garden in the sky. And then some were like on the brink of leaving this earth. And I gave them to friends. I was like, girl, take care of her because I can't at this moment. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I took all the lessons, I did my research, and now I have one that's absolutely thriving.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel really good about that. So it's also like, it may not be for right now, but try later. Don't be discouraged. Like, you can always try again later.
I think another one too that I had a bit of trouble with, and also just saw recent videos and tips on TikTok randomly, are some different types of succulents. And some were I was okay with, but a lot of like, I went through so many fish hooks and like string of bananas, string of purple. And they did really well for a while. And then all of a sudden they started to like either get moldy at the top, or they would start to just like start to like wither, and I would just have like brown strings. And
that happened to me too.
I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, those are tricky queens. Yeah, so, you know, succulents are tricky because it's about getting the watering, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, with most succulents, they're called succulents because they're good at retaining water. They don't require, you know, constant watering, because constant watering could actually lead to root rot, which destroys the root system, yeah. And we ain't got time for that.
That's what I think I did wrong, for sure.
And so it happens. And so you learn from that experience, and, you know, you can always try that again. They also enjoy a lot of light. And then, you know, one thing that I noticed when it comes to the market, like the plant market and succulents, is that they're often sold in pots without drainage, which mm-hmm. is just so bad for the plant, because you're kind of just like, you know, you're guesstimating how much water to put into the soil. You could be putting too much, you may not putting enough. So I encourage folks with succulents to make sure, and honestly with all plants, I try to make sure that I have drainage holes in them. At least you have that, you can always plug them up, you know, with like a little stopper if you're afraid of ruining your decor. Cause I know some folks are like, I have fancy furniture and I do not want more water getting onto the, you know, the furniture. But I always encourage folks to get drainage holes, because it allows you to see, you know, the water going through the soil. I call them tears of joy. So like little droplets of water, I call them tears of joy. But yeah, succulents can be tricky. And I think the way they're marketed is not always the proper way to take care of them.
I agree with that. I feel like with just pots in general, I feel like I'm a person mm-hmm. that likes drainage holes. I like to see the water like that's going mm-hmm. through and irrigating the plant. But like I'll see some cute ass pots, and if it has no drainage hole, which they usually don't when they're really cute.
You're right.
I'm like, no, I don't even look. I'm like, nope, we're not adding to, but we're not doing any of that, because I don't have time to have my plant possibly die for the aesthetic of my pot. But yeah, I learned with succulents, it's not like they can't necessarily be like over watered in terms of how much water you give them at once. It's really the over watering or like watering too frequently that leads to their downfall.
Yeah. So you know, it's important. Sometimes I'll, you know, ask my friends, like, so how are you taking care of your plants, right? Because there's just so many different ways that folks are, you know, what information are they getting, or what research are they doing? What has their family told them? Because often, sometimes plants are passed down through generations, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sometimes folks will water their plant a little bit every day, right? Because it's like, you know, I'm taking a little sip of water every day. I'm drinking water every day, right? So I'm going to give my plant some water. And it's like, girl, actually, no, they don't need water every day. And so, you know, some folks water a little bit every day, and that's actually not the way to go, unless you have like a fern that really needs a lot of like moist soil. But even they don't need water every single day. And so the thing really is to build a routine and have a particular watering day, you know, where you're soaking that plant and you're not just like giving it a little bit of water. You're giving that plant, you know, water, letting the water fall through the drainage hole and letting the water touch all parts of the soil instead of just trying to like give her a little bit of water every day. That'll lead to like stressed roots, and you know, the roots are crawling towards the water. They're trying to find the water. Yeah. So if you're giving it a little bit of water, you know, every day, and it's only sitting at the top, you know, what is happening to the roots at the bottom? So, and then, you know, one final thing is that making sure that you're testing the soil moisture before you water your plant. It takes me about 3-4 hours to do this, but I am committed and I do it. I make sure that I fill the soil of every plant that I'm watering to make sure that that queen needs water. Because depending on the amount of sunlight that week, depending on the temperatures that week, depending on whether I forgot, you know, put on the humidifier, they may not need water on that particular Sunday. So it's always good just to fill the soil. If it feels wet, leave her alone. If it's dry, she needs a drink.
Just like that, yeah. that quick tap, you know? And I know you were like, we're talking about just the plants that work for people are dependent. I mean, on your personality, what kind of time you have, what your space is, but what are some of the plants that are pretty general that work for like almost anybody that say doesn't have all the time in the world or doesn't have like the most optimal sunlight or window positioning? What are plants that may be good starters?
So, you know, before I get into the plants, one thing that folks may want to look into if you're struggling with light, which I mean, in New York, it is always a constant battle to find apartments with good sunlight. And so if folks want to invest in like grow lights are a fantastic supplemental, you know, lighting for plants to grow. So just throwing that out there, and you can find them on websites and things like that. They're pretty easy to find. In terms of plants that, you know, I would recommend, so number one would have to be the snake plant. Love that queen. She is of the succulent variety. So she's a queen that does not need to be watered as often. Right now I have them on like every 2 to 3 week schedule. In the summertime, sometimes it's like every 7 to 10 days. And then in terms of sunlight, you know, I think we have to watch out for, you know, that marketing of like low light plants, because some folks are like, low light means no light. And it's like, girl, no, all plants need some light. So, you know, when they market them as low light, that means that they can survive in low light, right? They may not necessarily thrive, right, in low light, but they'll survive it. And so the snake plant can survive in a bunch of different conditions. Sometimes I'll buy two of the same plant and I'll place them at different parts of my apartment. And I'll see how well they do. So you can have little fun and games with yourself
as you know.
So snake plant is definitely a go-to. The next I would recommend is actually the very first plant I brought to my home, and that's the pothos plant. And, you know, very viney, easy to propagate. And propagation is like when you're, you know, taking a cutting and rooting it in water, and then you have a whole, you know, new plant. They also survive in a bunch of different lighting situations. And if you are a plant parent or an aspiring plant parent that enjoys the immediate satisfaction of new growth, then the pothos is your queen because they grow so quickly. So pothos. And then lastly, I would probably say the ZZ plant, which is also another hardy, resilient plant that can survive in a bunch of different lighting situations. They can be tricky to propagate. You have to like use their leaves in order to propagate them. So that can be a little bit tricky, but I have yet to have a ZZ plant leave me. And I've been in this game for quite some time. So the ZZ plant is a very good one.
And to pivot to, I mean, still talking about plant queening, still talking about all that, the routine you talked about in your daily, your daily weekly life and with your plants, do you have the same type of routine or boundaries when it comes to social media and your presence online? Because I mean, I know that you've built such a great and engaged community, but there has to, I'm sure there's been just a lot that's gone into that and finding the balance
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. One I wasn't really expecting. But yes, I do have boundaries when it comes to, social media in general. I try to, treat it as, it's really, as I'm an educator at heart. I love the idea of learning. I feel like life is just a big classroom where we're we're constantly learning, and I'm a nerd for that. Mm-hmm. And so, it's really it's a way for me to just share some of the things that, I've found to be really helpful in my own journey. Sometimes that's talking about plants, sometimes it's talking about my family, sometimes it's talking about healing, sometimes it's talking about current events, right? It's a space for, me to share that part of myself, right? And to share my joy. I have like days where I'm just like, I'm taking a day off and I don't want to, be on social media. I need a break to just exist and be present. And, one, exist and be present for my own self-care, but then also to have something to reflect on, right? If I'm constantly online.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, when it comes to like collaborations and things of that nature, I try to make sure that they are completely authentic. Like, I'm not going to sit here and talk about, bringing some product into my routine when I actually never tried the thing or I don't enjoy it. Obviously, a little bit of capitalism comes into the scene. I was having another conversation and I was like, why are you always smiling? And I'm like, one, because I choose joy. That's the part of me that I want to share, with folks. But that doesn't mean I'm always smiling,
Yeah, I was gonna ask, do you feel pressured to always bring a certain energy or to bring joy to your feed, because that is what people see often?
No, honestly, I make sure that when I'm posting, that is how I am feeling, right? And if I'm not feeling it that day, then I'm not active. I'm like, I don't need to, and I think, as, Black, queer, non-binary, differently able, I have a right to, what I want to share with folks, right? And I think it's important as, folks of various underrepresented communities that, we don't feel pressure to constantly share, right? And some days they're like, I don't have nothing to say.
There's a person, she's a writer, editor, but she recently moved from New York City to New Orleans. And she was saying, like, people noticed her surroundings had changed and people were like, even though it's as emotional as like sharing joy versus not joy, but people were kind of just like demanding answers. And she was like, when I'm good and ready, I'll let you know. Like, I don't want to share this. Yeah.
No, and that's important. I think, we have to, feel empowered that we don't have to share everything. We don't have to share all parts of ourselves. So yeah, so, Plant Queen is a space where I share, the parts of myself that I want to share. I show up and when I want to, to show up, right? Because also showing up does not always mean a post on Instagram, right? Some, we have whole entire lives, behind the screen. And sometimes, the biggest action doesn't need recognition. It's been interesting to balance, but I've made sure to keep intact, and I've had to remind myself, like, what was the original purpose of this, right? And this was an opportunity for me to share, to be creative, with how I'm caring for my plants, be creative with storytelling, education, around plant care, around identities. And so, yeah, I feel like I've been able to maintain, that sense of integrity when it comes to just holding myself accountable to why I created, this in the first place. And so, but it's work. It is work.
Like, constantly checking yourself, checking back, thinking back.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like it seems like you've remained true to your purpose and what you kind of just like set out doing. I feel like one of my favorite things, honestly, with social media is just learning from different people. And I feel like, especially during quarantine, that's really come out. Mm. You just have like this unlimited pool and need to learn from.
At our fingertips.
Yeah. some more plant questions that I wanted to sneak in if you find
let's do it. Let's do it.
First, because I'm curious. So I think if I'm curious, other people may be. But what are some of your favorite places, like on or offline, to kind of scout and get new plants and new pots and anything that you use for like your home gardening?
Yeah. So I keep it pretty local. I try to support, you know, my local businesses. And so do you want me to run down the list? Cause I
you don't have to do anything that like, I mean, exposes your location, but
No. Yeah. So Crest Hardware is in Williamsburg. I really love Crest Hardware. Greenery Unlimited is in Greenpoint. Tula Plants and Design is also in Greenpoint. Horty is also located in Greenpoint, but they also have an online store and they have like a subscription model, which is pretty cool. The Phil is also a fun one. They have a location in Brooklyn as well. And then there's also Chelsea Garden Center. And so I keep it pretty Brooklyn. When it comes to my plants, I haven't been in Manhattan in God knows how long. But yeah, I mean, like I'm pretty simple when it comes to like my plants. I have most of them in terracotta pots. I typically don't go for like the designer pots because they're not made with like the plant. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just not made with the plant's best interest at heart. So yeah, so that's I mean, though, out of all those places, that's where I get my soil, my planters, my green girl.
And then I guess a question about soil or soil problems. So what are your methods for dealing with fungus gnats?
So that was a struggle bus when I was first like a year or two. I was like, I was smacking my in front of my face every damn 24 seconds. And so the number one thing, you know, folks can do, because fungal gnats love moist soil, right? And so if you let your soil dry out, then you'll have less fungal gnats, right? And so honestly, that's been like my number one like preventative method, just making sure that I let the soil dry out. And granted, you know, these, I have plants and, you know, most of my plants enjoy their soil being, you know, dried out. So also keeping that in mind, you may not have plants that allows you to do that. But if you do, let the soil dry out. Watering your plant every day can cause fungal gnats. Overwatering, not checking the soil can cause fungal gnats. So just making sure that you're intentional about making sure the soil is dry in between watering. The next thing that you can do is a fun little thing that I do is ground cinnamon on the topsoil. And so cinnamon actually is very irritating for adult fungal gnats. So they won't go into the soil if there's like ground cinnamon, you know, on the top layer of the soil. So a fun little DIY thing that folks can, you know, try. And then, you know, when you're watering your plant, you get a little burst of cinnamon, you know, so set the mood. And then lastly, if you find, you know, like, girl, these fungal gnats will not go away, they are still here, you can get a like a little sticky trap.
Oh yeah,
they have like little sticky trap that you can like you know, actually you bend it and you stick it in the plant through like a little stick that's holding it, and that captures a lot of them. So yeah, so folks can try that. But the biggest thing to know, an important thing to know, is that fungal gnats enjoy wet soil. So if the soil is dry on the drier side, then you'll probably have less fungus gnats. You know, when you bring nature into your home, obviously, there are going to be some things that come with it. But fungal gnats, yeah, those are pesky little creatures. But they can be prevented with intention.
Because you are so inspiring and providing like so much of your joy and knowledge to us all. I'm curious about who and or what keeps you going.
That's a good question. So, you know, the memory of my grandmother and my mother, who recently passed last year, their memory keeps me going. And the memories and the love that we shared, the unconditional love and the lessons that they taught me are lifelong. So definitely, you know, my grandmother and my mother. My nieces, I have two precious nieces and they are absolutely beautiful. It's just something about like a child's joy that is just, oh my goodness, it's enlightening. And yeah, I would say my family. We're a small family. So I have my father, my older brother, my sister-in-law, and we're really like really close with each other. So they definitely keep me going. I have a group of like close friends, and you know, quarantine, this whole experience really has, I'm quite sure this is true for a lot of folks, have really shifted friend dynamics, right? You really see, and not saying that if someone's not as present or checking up on you, that they're not a friend, but you see the folks that, you know, stay gravitated towards you, right? And yeah. So I feel like my friend group has gotten even closer, which has been amazing. So definitely my close group of college friends, and obviously my plant friends. Mm-hmm. have so many plant friends. Thank you for that question. I needed to reflect on that. Thank you.
And for everybody listening, like where can they find you?
Yes, darling, if you want to follow along on this little botanical lush journey, you can follow me on Instagram at Plant Queen, Queen spelt with a KW, because we love queering up words and language, darling. So at Plant Queen on Instagram. Yeah, that's mainly where I am. I have, you know, we'll see, you know, what the year brings and if I venture out into any other social media platforms. But Instagram is it for now.
I mean, yeah, I feel like right now Instagram has photos, videos, reels, whatever, everything.
It has everything. Why go anywhere else?
For sure. Awesome. It was a pleasure, Christopher. Thank you for talking with me.
No, thank you. This has been truly enjoyable.